mix with On the Beat.
See what you can do.
Welcome to E-Society Podcast.
Hey, what's up? It's Zisu back again. E Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 199. Today we'll be talking about TV, including Big Brother, Supermarket Sweep, and Penn & Teller. Movies including Borat's subsequent movie film. And as always, the week in sports, the week in Funko and collecting, weekly Star Wars moment, and our weekly random movie and song recommendations. But before I go any further, it's the Nez!
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Taking a break from the 31 Days of Horror. Yeah, down to the last week.
Yep.
A few more days till Halloween, and then you're not going to hear any more until next year. But I'm sure you'll hear random horror films from me that I watch throughout the year. But I got nothing this week, everyone. I mean, you've been hearing my voice every single day. Listening to all of the episodes we've done. Shout out to Brian and Mike. They've been really big helps, supporters of this year's. So, right on, brothers. Thank you so much. Hopefully, I got another guest coming on for the very first time, but I won't tell you who that is until we record.
Yes.
So,
just in case.
It's coming in the next couple days. I think the only TV I had, we'll start with TV. I mean, the only thing I have was Adele was the host of Saturday Night Live this weekend. And the musical guest was young lady by the name Her. She sounded okay. She reminded me of like some old school soul music. She could really sing. I only watched a few minutes of whatever the first performance is, but Adele, I was just kind of mad that she didn't. She sang, but it was during the skits. She didn't perform anything new. So I was kind of like, weak. I love Adele. If you guys remember all that, she was the voice of the decade. Last year when we did our best of stuff, which is coming soon, everyone.
Amazing.
I only got a few more months. And it started out okay. Everything went to hell. You guys already know what's going on, but I guess Adele is getting some heat. There was a sketch that they did about people coming visiting Africa. Adele and SNL come under fire after Africa sex tourism sketch. It was her and Kate McKinnon. It was funny, but I kind of knew something was gonna happen. They were just talking more about like divorcees. They were calling them tribesmen and something about coconut water. I think that was meant for something else, but I don't know. But are people going to say something about this? I mean, because you got two white women up there talking about coming to Africa and hook up with black guys. And I was like, all right. I mean, what was hella funny about it was not the subject matter, but the way Adele just couldn't keep it under... she couldn't keep it under control. She kept laughing. I mean, she's the host. I mean, it's... I love when that happens on the show, when somebody loses it and breaks character. But she was fun. Like, she was like bursting out in laughter. But I thought she did an amazing performance. And shout out to her, man. She lost a lot of weight. I loved her when I first seen her, when she was much bigger. And now she's probably in better shape. But I mean, I still love her. She's an amazing performer. I've never seen her live, and hopefully I will be able to as soon as something kind of goes back into normal. I don't see that. I see this going on for about a year, another year or two, but I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I guess people were attacking the show and as well how it goes. But this is nothing new to SNL. They've done tons of stuff throughout their time being on the air, and there's always someone that's gonna get offended by something. But as I was watching this, I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay."
You can tell.
I kind of knew something was. Yeah, I knew something was gonna come of this, and it sure did. So, yeah, the skit is it's still on YouTube, so you can check it out if you guys haven't seen it. I mean, yes, it's. I can agree with what they were saying about it, but I was just kind of all right. But I didn't write the show. I didn't write the skit either. But anyway, yeah, if you guys haven't seen that, check it out. But all the other stuff she did was funny on it. I think my favorite part was when they were doing like a Bachelor skit, and every chance she got, she broke out into one of her hit songs. And it seemed like all the women in the house were like getting tired. She was playing herself on The Bachelor, so she was just they were all getting tired of her singing. Any chance she got, she came in and just started singing one of her songs. So we got a little bit of her singing, so that was kind of enough for me. But she ended the skit with that one song, "Someone Like You," and that was one of the songs that everyone on the skit, the girls in the house and the Bachelor guy were like excited and ready to hear. So she kind of did like the end of that song. She walked out into the crowd, and there was audience in there, and everyone had the audience they showed, they all had masks on. So I'm sure it's like, I'm sure they're doing the temperature checks and all of that, and you got to leave that mask on. And,
yeah.
That's about as much as I know. Just what I saw on TV, and I was kind of shocked. Maybe there's not that many people in the audience, but I was still like, whoa. I mean, there's people in there. Because when this pandemic started, they were doing their skits from home. That very first episode they all did from home, like via Zoom or whatever. It was funny, but it was like, there was no costumes, no background stuff. But then the episode they did after that, I think everyone kind of got hip, and they started doing effects in the background and everything. It was probably them. They probably told them, "Hey, let me download this program and use this if you're gonna do something." So that one was pretty good. I liked it. I think they only did like a couple of those episodes, and then the season was over. But either way, I mean, I'm glad it's back, and it's cool that there's people in the audience. But I mean, this stuff is still running wild all over the world. I mean, mainly in America, because Americans are idiots and they can't follow the rules. But again, I mean, it's not going to go away if everyone's out there hooting and hollering and being stupid and just thinking it's fake and all of this. But that's my opinion. You guys all know that. But yeah, Adele, she was the host of SNL, so that was awesome. I'm going to check out more of that song, music from the girl H-E-R. Just a little bit I heard on the show. It sounded pretty good. Renee wants the whole album, so I'll probably pick that up for her and then check out the rest of it. Who knows? Maybe it'll make my album of the year. I already got an album of the year, but I want to see. I want to hear it. It was something new to me, something that caught my ear, because you guys know me. Most of the new shit right now is just bullshit, so I'm just like, ugh. But yeah, I'll definitely check that out. And as far as TV, I really didn't watch anything else but this. And the only reason I watched it is I was going to watch it eventually, but I only watched it because Adele was on it, and then the stuff they're taking heat for this Africa sex tourism sketch. Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, just check it out.
All right, I'll jump in. Not too much for me, but still was able to get in Big Brother, even while on the road. As it winds down, we're actually as we record this one right now, we're only a day away from the finale, which will be weird because something that for the last 3 months now, I mean, before that, I was watching all the episodes, but for the last 3 months. We've had the live feed. Things that I watched that if you listen to our Big Brother pod, you'll know is house guest last year, Cliff Hogg. He did like a YouTube show daily about, you know, what was going on the live feeds and whatnot. So it was like a real good way to keep up with what was going on. So all of a sudden that'll be over. So it's kind of crazy that we're down to the final three, and all we got left really is the finale.
Any of the final three was any of those people your pick?
No, I mean, a couple of, you know, all three of them are cool in their own ways. You know, as much as we watch it, like we always try to, me and Jade always try to pick like who you're most like. And the guy that's actually like closest to me, like, well, you know, it's obviously not one for one, but like kind of close in age, kind of repetitive like I am, Enzo. He's in the final three. He made it to final three when he played like 10 years ago. You got Nicole, a previous winner. It's amazing she even made it this far, just because the whole year there was only two previous winners, Ian and her. Ian went, he was the first member of the jury, so he went pretty early, and she was able to make it here all the way to the end. Most of the year is because they just weren't worried about her, but then it became a thing like later on, and she did win a few competitions late that saved her life. So and then finally Cody, who he's got to be the odds on favorite to win it. He definitely has the most wins this season of the three, and he finished second place when he played about 5 years ago. So definitely deserving, and it's definitely his game to lose. So that being said, the final head of household, the person that gets to pick the final person to evict to go to the final two, it's shockingly, it was an endurance comp, and they just did it last night. And we haven't yet to talk about this on the pod, but surprisingly, it was Nicole that outlasted the two guys and won the first part of the head of household. So now it's Enzo versus Cody in the second part, and the winner of that second part faces off Nicole in the final third part, and then that's the final head of household, and they'll choose who to take and who's the last evicted.
I don't know who any of these people are. So.
Yeah. Of course not. But, yeah, no, it'll be weird just because, like, how much this year, like, I mean, a lot of it, in a weird way, and I've said this a few times on the Big Brother pod, how, like, for 20 years the show's been on, and for 20 years, like, I really didn't pay attention to it at all, and then all of a sudden, like, latching onto it was more of, like, we lost all the sports. And it was like, I watched all the Amazing Race, and it was like, if you like Amazing Race, check out Survivor or Big Brother. And I was like, I know Survivor, but I was like, I didn't know Big Brother. I was like, I didn't even understand at the start of this year, like how it really even worked, like what it was. Like, I thought it was closer to, like, you know, Real World. And they were just like, they do sit around a lot, but it was cool to find out that there was like this competition structure, and it like really was about, you know, winning these like competitions. So that's really, you know, how I got into it. But yeah, I guess there'll be a Big Brother hole now that I've had this whole, I've filled this whole year, and now it'll be gone till next July, I guess, or June, July, August, I guess is when they normally run. So it is interesting, in the past couple of episodes, they have started playing the end of season ad where they're like, they're casting for the next season. So you should apply.
I'm too old.
No, you're not. There's been people that are like, there's one guy that he was like in his 70s.
Shit. You would know how to play this show. I'll go in there and hate everyone, talk too much shit, and get kicked off. So
That's why they would want you.
No, I don't have time for all that.
They want the personality.
I don't know. I mean, the little bit that I'd seen when I was at your house, man, I'd be fighting somebody.
That happened once too, and well, obviously they got removed.
See, that would get removed. I'm going to be beating someone up.
Right. Well, to jump to the other shows, which I only want to briefly mention, is because I watched them while in hotel rooms on the road, and they were shows I hadn't necessarily seen before. I think one of them, I don't know if it's like new, but you know, I think it was a new episode. And the other one, I was pretty sure it was a replay, but I still hadn't seen it. The first one was Supermarket Sweep. Have you ever seen that one?
I've seen the old show. I haven't watched the new one. I haven't recorded.
The one that I saw was hosted by one of the ladies that was one of the female Ghostbusters.
Leslie Jones.
She was also on SNL. Yeah, from SNL, I was going to say. So, yeah, I mean, not too much to say about the show, but I don't know if I was too excited to go back to it. It seemed like it was for people who are like really into like brand name shopping at like grocery stores or like TV commercials, because they went over a few things like, you know, slogans. Like one of them that I was like, God, I hadn't heard that. And then like after the show, I noticed a commercial where they said that. I was like, wow, like that did not stick with me at all. But it was like, stop cleaning. Do you know what the next line is?
Dude, it hasn't been on the air in a long time.
No, I mean a current commercial.
Oh, a current commercial? I zoom past all the commercials. I have no idea.
Okay. So I didn't know. And that's why I was saying, I was like, damn. And then I saw it. I saw the commercial like later on, and I was like, whoa, like I guess that is their thing. And like, I don't pay no attention to that. But the motto is, it's Swiffer. It's stop cleaning, start Swiffering. And I was like, okay. Like,
I wouldn't know that, man. I DVR everything. I never get to watch anything live unless it's sports right. at work. But then,
right.
When it's commercials, we don't.
Yeah,
we're just you're not busy too yapping. Yeah. And DVR, I just fast forward everything.
Yeah, the only place I think I'm like real exposed to commercials now, because I'm similar with the DVR thing, is YouTube. Commercials, like if you have on like a series of different YouTube videos, like before every one, it'll want to play an ad. And some of them, like 5 seconds in, you can press the skip button, but otherwise, yeah, that's
I don't even biggest. Pay attention to those. I mean, the only ones I pay attention to those are if it's like a movie or something that I've never heard of,
right?
So
right.
I mean, I'll watch those, but if it's some crap that I don't care about, if it lets you skip it, I'll skip it. Usually there's ones you got to ride out for 15 seconds.
Yep.
But
you either got to ride it out, or it's like 5 seconds in, they say, now you can press skip.
Yeah, I like those ones the best. The ones that are just 5 seconds. Even the ads that are just 5 seconds, I still don't pay attention to what they are.
Right. Well, like I said, not too much to say about Supermarket Sweep. I probably won't go back to it, but I mean, without like DVR or just like flipping channels in the motel room, like that's kind of what I landed on, which leads me to my next one. I don't think this is new. Penn and Teller, and it was like a fool, try to fool them type show. Have you ever seen that one?
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, I hadn't either, but I got the vibe that it had been around for a while, because the episode I saw, it was all about like, there's a live studio audience. That's one thing that made me think that it was a while back, obviously before the start of this year. There's a studio audience, and then at the front of the crowd, two seats for Penn and Teller, and then on the stage, they let like a magician come out and do a magic trick. And then Penn and Teller discuss and tell them like, nope, we know how you did it. Or they're like, okay, as long as you weren't doing this and this. And then there was like one guy, and he was like, yep, you fooled us. And a trophy drops from the roof. And the only reason that makes me think it's been going for a long time is they had a repeat guy. And he was like, back in season this and this, I came and I fooled them. So I think it'll be hard to do it now a second time all these years later. And I was like, years? I was like, I've never heard of this show. And it sounds like, it, you know, they've been doing it for years. So, but yeah, I'm going to put it in right now to see. I should have actually had this up. Yeah, 90 episodes, it says on IMDb. Penn and Teller, Fool Us. Aspiring magicians from all the world perform their best tricks to try to fool Penn and Teller, the world-famous magician duo. If the two cannot guess how the trick was done, the fooler gets to be on their Las Vegas magic show. And yeah, 90 episodes since 2011.
Oh, never even heard of this until a few minutes ago.
yeah, no, and I'm right there with you. That's what was. That's what's actually kind of shocking about it. Like,
what channel is it on?
I don't even remember. I was just flipping channels in the motel room, so it's hard to say. But the host is Allison Hannigan, known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer and American Pie and How I Met Your Mother.
That's not Buffy. I don't care what any of you guys say. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is Christy Swanson, not
Kendall anymore.
Not Kendall from All My Children. She's Kendall. She ain't Buffy.
No, you guys don't know who... Christy Swanson's canceled. Didn't you hear?
For what?
She's a huge right-wing pedo supporter.
I give a fuck about all that. I knew about that a long time ago. She's
canceled.
She's been pretty vocal about all that. I mean, come on, guys. Worry about something else. speaking of canceled, what's going on with Star-Lord? Chris Pratt, I guess he said some shit. Now everyone wants to cancel him.
I didn't read too much into it, except for I saw that the fellow like MCU stars were like defending him, which made me think, like, I don't know. The only thing I saw, and I'm probably way off base here because it sounds like you're more onto it than I am, but I thought it was something like he got made fun of or something. Like, for, like, being, like, the least likable Chris, like, compared to, like, Chris Evans and, what's the one? He's Kirk in the Star Trek films.
Chris Pine?
Pine, yeah. That's what I saw, but I think I might be way off base.
Chris Pratt defended by fellow stars after Twitter diss. I don't know what that is, what that means. I didn't read into it. I just heard everyone was all pissed off about it. Twitter may not be loving Chris Pratt these days, but gets by with a little help of his friends. Some celebs did not appreciate the response after a tweet appeared over the weekend saying one has to go, along with the pictures. Pratt, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, and Chris Evans resulted as many saying Pratt could be tossed from the group known as the four famous Chris's.
Right.
I didn't even know this was a thing. The compliments about Pratt cited everyone from his allegedly being a Trump supporter to a claim last year that Pratt supported the church with anti-LGBTQ views. And the letter of which Pratt has denied. Those sound like some big allegations if they're true, but again, to each his own. but everyone jumped to his defense. Mark Ruffalo, Zoe, what's her nuts, and I guess everyone else. Rest a lot of other guys from MCU. But I didn't know he was married to Arnold's daughter, Katherine Schwarzenegger.
I didn't either.
She's also, her mother's Maria Shriver, so she's a Kennedy as well. But I don't really know exactly what was said. I'm sure the tweet was erased, but I figured people are quick to all this stuff and screenshot everything. So, dang, she looks just like her mom. She don't look like her dad. But when you're famous, you just gotta watch what you say. It sucks, though. I mean, freedom of speech, but when you're up on a pedestal like that and everyone loves you, I mean, especially the Marvel Universe, man, you gotta mind your P's and Q's and just stay out of a lot of shit. But I mean, they're all out there doing something for the cause, man. Especially Mark Ruffalo. He's deep into all that stuff. So, but
oh, yeah.
Again, to each his own. But I know Ice Cube's under some fire too. But I can understand what he's trying to do. But I read the whole thing. It was like 50 pages or some shit like that about his black plan for. I can't remember exactly what he called it, but yeah, man, everyone was, because he went to Biden's party and said, hey, I'd like to discuss this with you guys, and they're like, nah, we're going to wait until after election and we'll look at this, which is understandable. There's a lot of stuff they're doing. It's coming down to the line right now, so, and then I guess he went to Trump's party and asked them, and they said, okay, we'll take a look at it. They at least met with him. From what I understand, and I'm not sure. This is me thinking. I think they said, yeah, sure, we'll do it to get the black vote. But that's me, my opinion. That's probably the only reason they said, yeah, come on in. But Ice Cube has said it. He's not supporting anyone. But everyone was, everyone was all over him. So, but man, Cube, do what you got to do, man. You know what's right in your eyes. I do understand what he's trying to do, which is good. I mean, there's a lot of people out there doing it. But like I said, being famous, you're on a pedestal, and he's using his fame to do it. A lot of people are calling him. There was a lot of artwork and a lot of memes going around there. It was a picture of Ice Cube, his face, with Donald Trump's hair on it.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. So, but yeah, man, everyone, they fire on you if there's just stuff that they don't like. But I don't know. That's how it's always been. This isn't nothing new. I mean, they've been doing this before social media and everything. But now it's so you can get your news a lot quicker. I mean, everyone's just quick to the draw to come up with something. But again, I mean, you guys heard me rant and rave about shit that I don't like. But I mean, you may not agree with it. But oh well, I'm still going to say what I'm going to say. Yeah, I just can't wait till this fucking bullshit is over. I'm sick of all these commercials and all the shit talking and the fucking stupid debates that mean nothing. And I'm like, it's just comedy stuff. Because, I mean, SNL runs with it. I mean, everybody runs with it. As soon as one thing is said, and then it's all over the internet. It's all over Twitter. It's all over Facebook, Instagram, everything. A lot of guys are getting heated. Talk at work, I just sit there and laugh at all of them. You guys are fucking stupid, but that's me. I'm just reading news that's popping up here and there. But
yeah. All right. On that note, the last thing I remembered from random watching is another show. It's been around forever. I definitely knew how this one worked, but. Also, never really watched it, but it was just on. So I let the episode of Big Brother in, and then I just let it sit on and continue. And it went from Big Brother to Undercover Boss. And it was an episode featuring Won Kim, chairman of the board and CEO of Smoothie King. And, you know, if you've seen the show, you know it's pretty simple. They just try to do a job. And like blend in, and of course they find things that are wrong, and then they end the show helping out people. So I mean, that part's nice, but I don't know, a lot of the Undercover Boss stuff can definitely be like eye rolling.
That shit's depressing, especially when there's people that are out there working hella hard to support their family, and if they're a single parent, man, I'm like, fuck. I mean, there's been many times I haven't watched it in a while, but many times watching a show where I just start to tear up because I feel for these people.
Oh, sure.
But I understand the struggle. They're out there working their ass off.
Yep.
And then there's some fucks that don't want to do shit and sit on the couch. Dumb motherfucker. You guys know what I'm talking about. Fuck him. But anyway, it's a really good show. I haven't watched it in a while, but I mean, I like what they do. I love when they go in there and find shit that just like really like, oh my God, I didn't know this was going on in my establishments.
Yeah.
There was one guy. The thing that's funny about it, I don't know how they don't get it, are their disguises they give them.
Yeah.
They look so stupid. Like, how can you not see this? This is a disguise. My boss couldn't do it. I mean, because we know our bosses. I mean, not my station manager, but the CEO of our company. There's no way he'd be able to do this.
Yeah, because it would look so standout-ish.
Yeah, I mean, we know what he looks like. We've met him and talked to him. He's really vocal, and he loves talking to the employees and everything. I mean, so it's like, Gary, what are you doing in that stuff? I mean, that's how good. I mean, we're all on the first name basis thing, but like, we would know it was him. So it's like it would never work for us. But I get it. The one that kind of pissed the guy off was I think it was the CEO of Hooters. This was seasons ago. One guy was like, some of the girls wanted to get off early. He goes, all right, well, if you guys want to leave work early, we're going to have this chili bean eating contest. You got to eat all this chili without touching the plate. And I was like, what? And he went undercover to be like just one of the cooks or the helpers in the kitchen. And he saw all this was going on. And he was like, "Nah, I gotta deal with this like now. You're fired." So, they said that he probably went to some kind of training program to deal with this and that. But nah, fuck them out. Dude, you're fired. Get out of here.
Right, right.
There's a lot of good stories on there. A lot of these people that are out there struggling and surviving just to work, even if it's just stuff that you don't even know.
So yeah, after checking out the episode on TV, I was curious to just like browse the CBS All Access selection since they had, I guess, all 10 seasons. And two interesting ones I found. Mohegan Sun Casino, native casino. Bruce Two Dogs, chairman of Mohegan Sun, goes undercover in the gaming, hotel, and entertainment destinations. So
that Mohegan, is that what you say?
Yeah, it's out in Connecticut. And also one of the most interesting parts that I should have known, obviously, is I'm knowledgeable about the WNBA, but I was unaware that the Connecticut Sun, that team, it got the name from whatever, the Mohegan Sun Casino. They sponsor it, and they play in their arena and everything. So that was pretty interesting to find out.
Okay, I'm looking at pictures of him. He looks the same, other than they shaved his head.
Oh, I know. Well, that was the thing. Like, he was, I guess, known for his hair. So he thought if he, like, went bald, that would throw everything off. And then, yeah, he did a little bit of facial hair, too, I think, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah, it looks like he's got they added a gray goatee.
Yeah.
And kind of grayed up his eyebrows.
Yeah.
Know that was him.
Yeah. The thing that was interesting too about the episode is he had a native wedding ceremony to attend in between the time he was doing this. So, you know, he had his look all different, but, you know, it was interesting that, you know, in between going through all these places for the show, that he had his, like, real, you know, tribal responsibilities still to keep up with.
Was this the latest?
All crazy.
Huh? Was this the latest episode?
No. I just dug through it. That was, like, years ago. It was season 5, so it was January 2014, so it was a long time ago. But I was just looking for interesting ones. I found that one, and then another one on? I definitely
what were you on?
All Access, CBS or? All Access.
What season was it?
5. Season 5, episode 11. But
Mohegan Sun Casino. All right, okay, I found it.
Yeah. The other one that I checked out was a celebrity one, season 8, episode 9 from 2017. Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish. His one was interesting because since he is like an actual celebrity, they had to go like a step further and like cast his face and make like a Hollywood level like mask for him, like that they like applied parts to his face to like make him look like a different person, make him look older. So that part was cool. But the funniest part, and I think this is probably not the first time this has happened on this show, but he messed up one time and said his name because he was like talking to this girl and she was like, he was talking about how like, oh, I'm too old for like music because he's like playing this character. He's like, I don't think I can do this. And the girl he was talking to was like, no, she's like, it doesn't matter. Like, what, how old you are? Like, you need to believe yourself. Like, I want you to say like, Sam, I believe in myself. Just say your name. Just say you believe yourself. And he's like, Darius, Sam, I believe in you. So that was hella funny. And like, obviously it cuts to him talking about like, I don't think she heard me, but I totally messed up. So that one was hella funny.
Also, I don't even know funny. Who.
Also, it's funny just because Darius Rucker? Hootie?
Is that the... Okay, I got found the pictures. Well, he does look different. He's got hair.
Yeah, and yeah. Glasses. And, yeah, he has got, like, stuff applied to his face, like, to make his facial structure look different. And he, like, puts on a voice. Yeah. And he, like, when he performs early in the episode, when he's just meeting people, he messes up all the time, like, on purpose. Like, he'll mess up a string. And then he'll be like, yeah. So.
I mean, how hard is that to fake being to where you can't sing?
Right.
It's easy to fake not know how to play, but.
Yeah. Well, to step on it a little, too, it is actually kind of cool at the end because they all come and they're supposed to think that he's going to, like get. He's going to win, like they're all there for him, like he's going to win a prize, he's going to win a contest, and he starts performing in front of them, and he starts off as bad as he's ever been, and then he breaks into the professional that he is, and like blows him away, obviously. So that was cool.
I'll have to start rewatching those.
Yeah, I mean, they're all up on All Access. So I was bouncing around. Like I said, I only checked out a couple. The other one that caught my eye was being that we have two here in the little city I'm in, Dutch Bros Coffee. So that one was interesting to see.
You a coffee drinker? That's all.
I get like all the other stuff that these places, the Starbucks and the Dutch Bros, sell, like the chai tea. They do like these frost, like frozen drinks. I like those, the frappuccinos. So yeah,
I don't drink none of that shit.
Well, I you know what I just made me think of is when David Banner played you indulged in the strawberry frappuccino because it was
the frozen strawberry lemonade.
Oh, right. I thought it was the strawberry frappuccino. But.
No, I don't like anything like that. Mine was basically a Slurpee. So,
okay.
I fuck yeah, man. I had money to blow on all that shit. So I would.
Yep. 100. 200. Is that what it was, too?
Yeah, 200. $200 bills, man. I was fucking... It's funny, though, because I know we've told this story millions of times, but, man, we almost left. Because Joel was like, no, let's go. I was like, dude, I want to see that. I was like, you could leave, but I want to see this guy. Because it was our last night. So, I mean, I wanted to... hang out and see what was going to happen. And
right. I'm
glad I did.
Yeah.
Left for there with $200.
$200
richer. I already spent like $1,000.
Right.
just going there. That really saved my money this year, not having any cons. It sucked.
Oh, I know.
We usually blow through thousands down there, like,
yeah, just like
minutes.
Right. Exactly. All right. On that note, ready to move on past TV?
Yeah, go for it. I got nothing.
Okay, movies. I got the Amazon movie, the new Borat.
No spoilers. I haven't seen it yet.
Called Subsequent Movie Film. Follow-up film to the 2006 comedy centering on the real-life adventures of fictional Kazakhstan television journalist named Borat with Sacha Baron Cohen. Yeah, so I'll try not to spoil it, but I will say right off the bat, it was interesting how different the experience was for me from the first film to this film. The first film was one of the most unique movie theater going experiences I've had. I think I've mentioned it before here on the pod, and that I saw it opening night. I think it was, you know, one of those, you know, when a movie opens on Thursday and they show it a first show late Thursday night. So I can't even remember. It might have been like a midnight show too, to top it off. But I saw it in Arcata, the town right up the road from us, which and right by the Humboldt State University. So I saw it with like a college crowd that was like extremely rowdy, and we saw it in this unique theater, the Minor in Arcata, and it was like it had like an upper deck and like a lower deck, and we happened to be in the lower, but like you could just like you were like surrounded by people, and it was just like a really rowdy experience, one of the like rowdiest movie going experiences I've ever been to. But it actually made the film, and it made things more funny that it was like crazy experience like that, a crazy environment. So this one was obviously different, and then I watched it alone in my house streaming. So real different there, but I don't know. Did you hear about the like big like news story to come out of this one? Because I don't want to step on it if you haven't, but did you hear like what everybody's talking about afterwards?
The only thing I've heard about is the Rudy Giuliani thing.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. So
yeah, about him laying down.
Yeah.
And put his pants on. And I don't know what happened after that. That's all I heard.
Well, yeah, I'll let the film speak for itself. But yeah, it's kind of definitely a stinger of the film, but you've seen like the previews and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it as funny as the first one?
I think overall the first one's more funny, but I think this one's still good. I think one of the things with comedy, it's always so hard with the sequel because it's like you don't want to do the same things, but you need to bring back the same character. So, for a good amount of the movie, I was like, okay, like I get it. Yes, they're doing some of the same like shock things and this and that. But it actually, in the end, it made sense. Like in the first film, it was so much about like America's vibe and like what was like the feel of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars of the early 2000s, and there's that line in the first one, he goes to the rodeo, I support your war of terror, and everybody's like yay. So this time, which I think you saw in the preview, because I remember seeing the preview, it's interesting that he like tackles the virus and he like goes up to these guys right outside a gun shop and is like, I'm walking around, where is everybody? And there's like a virus, like they're telling everybody to stay home. And then it comes out and they're real right-wing pedo supporters, and he's with them. And the most insane and kind of like scary thing in the film is when he like goes to like this rally with them and to like see people there, and it's just like scary that, you know, that's real. We know it, we've seen it, but like, you know, what they're saying, what they got on their flags, the people are you know, Nazis and stuff doing, you know, hail and all this and that. So that stuff's real scary. And then obviously the real life political encounters, those are real. The thing that I appreciated the most about it is in the end, after all this, like, okay, I see what we're doing, they were able to like actually craft like a story out of it that when the end came, like, I felt like really satisfied. Like, I was actually really impressed in the end with the story part of it. So I really liked that part of it. And then just the end, just the way they end it, period, I thought really hit well too. So yeah, without spoiling it, yeah. Especially in this year, definitely probably going to make my end of year top 10 list.
How many you got on your list so far?
Oh God, probably like 6-7. So it needs to round out. So I got 2 months here for 3 more films probably.
Dude, there's so much stuff out there. Why aren't you watching it?
Yeah, I you know, there is a few that I want to watch. I don't know if they do have that potential to be end of year list, but I know there's like a couple of Amazon movies. There's one with that actor I really love, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's like a airline pilot. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen it, but I want
to
see it.
Yeah, yeah. That's one I definitely is on my list to check out for sure here as our time winds down. But yeah, I think one of the things, like I said, just to finish up on Borat, that I appreciate about it so much is I thought one thing for most of it, and then the fact they actually pulled a story out of it and made it like interesting, like as a story in the end. Like, I really appreciated that. And it was kind of crazy that it's 14 years later. So yeah, impressed.
The thing I want to know is how do people not know who he is?
Right.
That's the thing. I mean, he's all over the place. How do you not know who Borat is?
Yeah, and they do touch on that, and this is in the preview too, so I'm not stepping on it too much, but he's like, I'm very famous after first film. He's like, people know who I am. So they have a few scenes where he's like running on like the LA streets, and he's like running away from people that are like, Borat, yeah, they're like chasing him. So like, he actually does do like another, he does a disguise on top of a disguise for a good amount of the film.
did he go up singing at some rally?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. The craziest thing about that too, just to step on it just a little, it doesn't make it any less impactful when you see it, is you would think like, okay, like it's one thing for him to show up at the rodeo 14 years ago and say this stuff off the top of his head. Like, those people at the rodeo weren't, maybe he's like echoing like their thoughts and stuff like that, but he's saying this stuff. The crazy thing about him singing this song is those guys he was staying with, they wrote this song, which was about like, you know, how the virus is a hoax and nothing worse than the Democrat, and we gotta inject Obama with the Wuhan flu, and like the crowd is like chanting along, and like, he didn't even make that up. Like, that's the craziest thing, is these guys he was staying with like wrote that song.
You didn't see that clip of it going around a while ago?
I didn't, but also the craziest thing about that was when he's staying with them, the other character in the movie, his daughter, she was able to infiltrate like this other like women's white right-wing group, and she was able to end up on this website that the guys that he was staying with, they found on his own, and she was like talking about coming to the rally and stuff, and he's like, oh my god, there she is. And it was like, god, how did they do that? Like, it's incredible they were able to like actually like infiltrate the real website, and that these guys found it on their own. You know,
you could do all kinds of shit. you gotta know how to do it.
So, yeah, yeah, for real. But anyway,
I don't know how to do it, but I know some guys that can do it. So
yeah, yeah. But in the end, yeah, definitely top 10 potential for me.
Because when he was singing, that video was going all over the place. It was like, because people were filming it and posting it.
Right. Oh, so yeah.
I was like, is this a, I thought he was just doing it to do it, to be funny. And I didn't know it was going to be a part of the movie. But then once the movie, I started seeing, I went, oh, okay, he probably did it for that.
He did, yeah.
All those idiots bought into it.
Yeah. I mean,
that goes to show you how some of America are idiots.
Yeah. At the same time, one thing that was encouraging, it was so scary, but at the same time, like, there was a good amount of people there, but it wasn't packed. So that was like one thing I took away from it, where I was like, okay, like, it's easy to say like, god, like, everybody's just awful and a Nazi and everything, but it really, the park that they were at, it wasn't that full. So there's that. But like I say, just to one more time, like, it's so insane that, like, it'd be one thing for him to come up there and say all this stuff off the top of his head, but the fact that, like, the guys he was staying with wrote that song, and, like, he's just repeating their song, like, nuts.
And how did they not know who he was?
Right. You would think.
They didn't go, they didn't look him up?
Yeah.
They didn't get on. You could just type in Borat and yeah. Boom. There, I'm like, see, that goes to show you, everyone, idiots.
Yeah,
everyone's got a phone in their pocket. It's easy to Google something.
Right, right.
America, right on.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyways, ready to get into sports?
Yeah, I'll run through mine really quick. Seattle, we lost to the Cardinals, but we're still doing better than the Raiders, so fuck them. Go Seahawks. I watched one match from WWE's Hell in the Cell that took place the other day in the Thunderdome. And I want to watch the rest, but I really wanted to see this match. It was the for the Women's SmackDown Championship belt. It was Sasha Banks going up against the SmackDown Women's Champ. Bailey, of course I'm gonna root for Bailey. She's from the Bay Area. I gotta represent. Man, they fucking went hard. I'm sure they were just beat up the next day. But then you got Raw, so you got to come out and do that. But they were taking hard bumps, both of them. I mean, I'm sure they ran through their routine and everything. But I mean, getting slammed against that steel cage and when you fall from doing something, then there's times where you get clipped. Sasha Banks kept hitting her face. And you can see, you know when that's real, when they're really checking it. But, man, they went super hard. I think one of the best moves that night is when Sasha threw Bailey into the cell, like, hella hard. And she was, like, kind of high up, too. I was like, damn. It looked like Sasha hurt her butt bone, her tailbone, because she came down pretty hard on it. But these two gals, they went just as hard as they could go. And the match went back and forth, pinning them. Sasha Banks ended up putting the bank statement on Bayley, and Bayley tapped out. So Sasha Banks is the new WWE Women's SmackDown Champion. And this is her first time winning this belt. She's won all the other the women, the tag team belts, the Raw, and I want to say NXT, but I can't remember. Someone's probably screaming it. But this was the first time she won the SmackDown Championship belt, so which was good. It was a good. Hopefully, it'll be a good run for her, because Bayley went like over 300 days. I can't remember how many exact, 300 and something. being the SmackDown Women's Champion. And I love this heel turn of Bayley. I mean, not too long ago, like months ago, I mean, they were like best friends and everything in, on the show. And they were always they were tag team champions together. But then when they lost the belts, I think that's when Bayley turned on her and said, "You're nothing. I'm carrying you," and all that. So you knew that where that story was going. And of course, you knew that Sasha was going to eventually get the belt from her. But I mean, she deserved it, and it was a hard match. So again, I'm going to watch the rest. But that match was amazing. I'm probably going to watch that match again. But yeah, that was WWE's Hell in the Cell and. Seattle Seahawks 5-1, go Hawks!
Yeah, looking good. On the other hand, Broncos season continues to be a little up and down. They did, after beating the Jets back on October 1st, they followed up with a real surprise win. That was super shocking. This is while I was on the road. Broncos over Patriots. That was shocking. That match got delayed a week because of a virus that some of the Patriots had got. So they had to work through that. And then, I was shocked. The Broncos defense especially stepped up, holding the Patriots to 12. But then this past Sunday, back down to earth against the division leader, Kansas City, the defending Super Bowl champs. They destroyed us 43-16, so not even close there. Next up, we got the Chargers, another divisional matchup this next Sunday, a battle of 2-4 versus 2-4. So after that, we take on the 1-6 Falcons, too. So who knows? Could rattle off a few wins here, but overall, you know, we're not going anywhere this year, but... it's nice to get a win here and there rather than just lose every week, you know? So, other than that, obviously the NBA season is over. Now we're just waiting for the NBA draft. Going to come back and do a check-in for that for at least the first 5 picks when that happens mid-November. So... NBA draft to be held virtually at ESPN November 18th.
I got no more sports. I'm done.
Yeah, I guess that is it, which leads us to the week in Funko and collecting.
Let's do Star Wars first.
Okay, sure. Let's do it.
All right, this is just something I'm on StarWarsNews.net. It's where I get all my Star Wars news. Runtime for the first season, season 2 episode of The Mandalorian is revealed. Seems like we've been getting more Mando than we initially expected next week. Words come via Reddit that next week's Mandalorian, or this Friday's, hopefully Thursday night, this week's Mandalorian season 2 debut will be longer than usual. A lucky user is able to catch the glimpse at the Chapter 9's runtime on Disney Plus app. Here is the translated image. Okay, there's a picture. Season 2, it's going to be, if this is right, 52 minutes. Better than the 20 minutes or whatever we got the first season. So, but I'm ready for it. As you can see, the season's first episode of The Mandalorian will clock in around 52 minutes. Okay. You get the intro and the credits and everything. That's all added in. So let's just say 40 something minutes. Making it the longest one yet. That speaks volumes about Favreau's intent to keep the storytelling as flexible as it needs to be. Season one's episodes range from around 30 minutes to 40 minutes, but this one is taking the series into a regular TV show length. Territory. The Chapter 9 placeholder title confirms earlier reports that Lucasfilm's looking for The Mandalorian as a continuous story rather than the set self-contained arcs. By the end of the series, we will be able to look at it as one big tale. That is neat. Users and the thread mentioned before that were also quick to investigate the location featured in the thumbnail picture. We are definitely looking at the cantina, and it is a weekway, Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
His Den Jarjan, how do you say his last name?
Din Djarin.
Fuck, man, people keep texting me. Din Djarin looking for indications in Tatooine. Is he looking for indications in Tatooine? I don't know, we'll see. Is this one of the new planets featured in the trailer? You are free to speculate and all that, like we always do. Yeah, it looks like Mando is at the counter of the bar talking to, the Weequay?
Yeah.
That, I don't know who this character is, but that's all the picture that they're showing. But I'm cool. Long as it's longer. I'm hoping we get like two episodes like we did last season in 1 week. But
I wish, we'll see. Probably not, because Disney Plus launched on a Tuesday. So we got episode one on Tuesday, and then they gave us episode one on a Tuesday, and then episode two on that Friday. So probably not, sadly.
Well, 52 minutes. That's
That's nice.
Nothing. That's cool. Star Wars Squadron is getting Mando themed goodies. Yep. Is that a game?
Yeah, the new one, the first person TIE fighter and X-wing game.
I sent you that meme about the VR game that's coming out. It said you'd be able to relive your favorite Star Wars moments via VR. And there's a kid or whatever at the top with the VR glasses. I can't remember if it was holding a lightsaber or something. But then the next picture is the bottom when it says relive your favorite Star Wars moments. It's when the... Well, he was Darth Vader then, but Anakin with his lightsaber out standing in front of the younglings.
Yep.
It's mean and everything, but there's no way they would put that in a game where you can roll in there and kill little kids. But I don't know. We'll see. Pedro Pascal tells Good Morning America what's next for The Mandalorian. There's a video. I didn't... See, Pedro Pascal is the man behind the Mandalorian mask, has a lot of things to talk about with his hit Disney Plus series. He unveiled a few of them earlier today on Good Morning America. When was this?
Oh, just the other day.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, it was today.
Oh, I thought it was yesterday.
It must have been. Well, they probably just put this article out today. Following yesterday's conversation with Giancarlo Esposito, he was also on Good Morning America. Pedro Pascal was brought on to talk more about The Mandalorian. Pascal explained that he is pleasantly surprised at what's in store for the show for the second season premiere. You know, I will say that reading the first episode for the second season, I was taken back in really, really good way on how impressive that the first episode read. And already with the evidence of the first season, knowing that they were able to achieve everything that was set out to, and seeing this incredibly ascensionist, I don't know how to say that word, first sounds episode right, with the story of the action sequence and the way it read on the page, and just that the feeling that, oh my gosh, they're going to achieve this visual experience. Okay. Like, this isn't just let's describe it as best as we can and see what we end up with achieving with. And it's undoubtedly going to be achieved. And I kind of couldn't believe that I understood. Oh, so this is how we keep it up with the second season. This is how they don't disappoint. Pascal also discussed what it's like to work with the puppet co-star, the child, and provided some vague details about a scene in the new season. This baby is beautiful, and the details on the child are incredible. We're talking about this adorable peach fuzz on his tips of his ears, and you'd be surprised, he's an incredible scene partner. Industrial Light and Magic, the effects team that worked with the puppet in the scene with me, you wouldn't believe what they'd be able to do. At one point, I'm not sure it will be in the final cut, but I improvised a line that starts the scene, basically. Don't get too close to the fire. And Baby Yoda, like, turned... I guess that's what he said. These are his words. Baby Yoda, like, turned his head and reached to me, like, move away from that, and it wasn't even in the writing. So there I am improvising with Baby Yoda. See, even he calls him Baby Yoda. There's more to this story, but those are kind of the hits. But cast of the Mandalorian season includes the likes of Pedro Pascal, Carl Weathers, Gina Carano, Giancarlo Esposito, Emily Shallow, Horatio Sands. Oh, he's coming back. I hope he's still the same character. Tamura Morrison, Rosario Dawson, Michael Biehn, Timothy Oliphant, Katie Sackhoff, and the one, the boss, Sasha Banks. The series is written by the showrunner Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni and Rick Famuyiwa. All right. All who are directing episodes of the season. Other directors of the season include Peyton Reed, Bryce Dallas Howard, yes, and Robert Rodriguez. I'm excited about that one. The first season you watch on Disney Plus, but that's cool, man. I mean, they didn't give anything away. I'm sure he was knocked down off of his pedestal thinking that he can take the helmet off, so there's none of that news in it. There's another Giancarlo video. I'm just gonna watch these videos and report back next week. Oh well, I guess I won't need to report back next week. Maybe we'll do an anchor really quick. We'll watch both of these videos. Because yeah, it's coming out this Friday. Hopefully yeah. Midnight on Thursday, or which leads into Friday. Last time it was midnight and on the East Coast, and we got it at 9 o'clock.
I'd love that.
I'm hoping. Yeah, I mean, if we get it at 9 o'clock Thursday night, I'm all for it. I'm gonna sit right at work and watch it as soon as it drops.
I know. I'm ready. Last year, you were saying that it didn't drop till 2 a.m. our time, though, right? Last year, like as the season went on, like episode 3 and 4, 5, it didn't drop till like 2. You were saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was up, so I still watched them.
Right. Well, the follow-up I have for you on that is yesterday, as of we're recording this, was the first Mando Mondays. And while I knew it was happening, it kind of caught me off guard because I was all ready to get out of the house and get going. I had a few stops to make around town. But then at 10 o'clock, they did a live stream, which was pretty like well produced, so it didn't come off like a live stream, where they talked to Pedro Pascal and Apollo Creed, Greef Karga,
and Gus.
Moff Gideon, Gus Fring,
holding the darksaber. Do you got one of those yet?
I don't, but he made me want one. He was wielding it really cool, and it was funny. So it was a good presentation that they did.
I saw them the other day. Or no, I saw them a while ago. Yeah. They've been in the stores.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. If I get one, I'll probably just get it for Daniel.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's the perfect reason to get one. But, yeah, on top of that, after the live stream ended, it was about a half hour long, and you can still see it on the Star Wars YouTube page. It actually is worth watching just because of like how well put together it was. I don't know if they're going to do a stream every Monday going forward, but they are going to do Mando Mondays every week going forward with new stuff to pre-order. And the highlights of this first one were actually pretty cool. The main thing was the Mandalorian series of figures with the retro style. Like they look like they were like 1978 style Star Wars figures, and they released Mando, the Child, Cara Dune, Quill, and he looks really cool actually. And I haven't even had like a regular Quill action figure yet too, so cool to see him get one. Moff Gideon, IG-11. The interesting story I had with that personally was I was on the Hasbro Pulse website trying to order all of them, had them all in the cart, and then when I went to check out, they said they were all sold out. So went over to Target, and I was able to get Greef Karga, Cara Dune, Quill, Moff Gideon, IG-11, but Child and Mando had sold out. So a little while later, I went back over to Hasbro Pulse, and they had up like a second wave. Like the first wave was supposed to come out in May, and they had another wave that was going to come out in July. So I was like, okay, I'll put in the order for them there. And then later in the day, I checked Target again, and they had put the Child and Mando back up for May release. So I went back, canceled my Hasbro Pulse, and now I'm getting them all through Target. So it worked out in the end, but it was kind of a funny series of pre-ordering, like, fury. And actually, even before I was able to order the retro, Target had an exclusive black series of Din Djarin, the Mandalorian, and the Child together. The interesting thing about this is the helmet is removable, and it has what Pedro Pascal looks like underneath it. The only thing is, I don't know if you've seen the picture of this Nez. Everybody's like clowning this figure. They're like, he doesn't look right at all. He looks messed up. So, yeah, I'm going to send it your way real quick if you haven't seen it. But
they never look like the person.
Yeah, I just sent it your way. You should be seeing it.
It kind of looks like him. I mean,
right. I mean,
you could tell it was him.
Yeah, I mean, some obviously more than others. Like looking at the guy that played young Solo, the Alden Ehrenreich. I'm just looking at his. That's like the first figure that came into eyeline. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good sculpt. So, you know, hit and miss with what they can do with these. So. But yeah, no, I was excited just for the pre-orderiness of it. The other interesting things they had that I haven't touched yet was Republic of Tees had three different tees: a black tee for the Mandalorian, which if I got any, that's what I would get; a green tee for the Child; and then like a tropical tee for Cara Dune. So that's different. And then Disney Store, I was like really pushing it on like getting out of the house. So like when I went to check there, I had already got pre-ordered all this other stuff. And then when I just wanted to go look at it, it was crazy. Disney Store had like a line to even like browse and look at stuff. It was like, you're in line to look at the Disney Store. Like, please wait. And I was like, oh, okay, I got to go. So I looked at it later, but it's interesting. It's that Child, they revealed it a while ago. It's the one that does stuff. It's like you touch it on the head and like opens its eyes and makes sounds and can roll around, everything like that. The like animatronic one. They have a Disney Store version that comes with like a pouch that you can put him in and like put over your shoulder or whatever. It is a little. It's called, is this it? Two. They've got one called the Child Real Moves Plush. That's 60 Child animatronic toy with carrier. And that's the one I was just talking about. And it goes for $79.99. But, yeah, just to tell you what it does, I mean, you might be interested, especially for your grandkids. Touch the top of the Child's head to activate sound effects, including happy, excited, giggles and babbles, tired and sleeping, and force effect sounds. Features motorized movements, including a head that moves up and down, ears that move back and forth, eyes that open and close, and more. Pat the Child's head three times for force activation, in which the animatronic toy closes its eyes and sigh as if using the force. Pretending to channel the force takes a lot of energy and requires a lot of rest. Lay the Child down and it will close its eyes to take a force nap. The cloth carrier can be worn two ways, over the chest or over the shoulder, and also converts into a sleeping blanket. See? What do you think?
No, I'm good.
$79.99.
Buy other things.
Yeah. I really like the way it, like the whole bag thing looks, but yeah, the price is the one thing that like stopped me in my tracks from like pulling the trigger. I've already, you know, pre-ordered all that other stuff. The thing that works out for me as far as like that goes, though, is like not having to put anything down now, both through Hasbro Pulse and Target. It's all, you know, pre-order.
$80.
Pay when it ships. So, works for me.
It looks neat, but you can just make that bag and put the old one, the one he's already got in there. He don't care. But, yeah, I'm good. No,
anyways. Right. So, yeah, it'll be interesting going forward. Not only we got Mandalorian episodes on Friday, we got Mando Mondays. So, can't wait to see what else they drop. Oh, yeah, Funko dropped a couple more pops on their site. So, I was able to get in the order for those. So, hopefully, those arrive. I've been doing the 30-day countdown, a photo a day for the Mandalorian countdown. And then I figure once it's over, I'll do at least like a weekly one, like for honor of the episode on Friday. So the Mithril, the blue guy from the first episode of season one, they made him. And then a new sculpt of Cara Dune in her season two kind of style, which is close to the same as season one. It's just a touch different. So, but they made that one. So to like blend it into collecting and whatnot, did you have any pickups this week?
No. Well, I did, but there was some stuff that I forgot to talk about last week. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, shout out to everyone that listened to the shortest episode ever.
Yeah.
This ain't happening this week. So, but I was out and about, and there's a new line of G.I. Joes that came out, the regular small little figures on cards. And I saw these in Walmart, but they only had like Roadblock and Scarlet. From looking at the back, they have Roadblock, Scarlet, Destro, the Baroness. I saw the Baroness, but the package was not the greatest. I was like, yeah, no. But I did score. I found looks like they just put these out on the shelves. So I got Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes. These are my two favorite. These are the only ones I really want. I do want the Baroness, but if I find her out there later on, or as well as Destro too. But these two, Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, are a must-have for any Joe fan. So they really went for it on the mold, the designs of the figures. They look pretty sweet, and they have a ton of accessories, weapons, swords. Snake Eyes has a sword, or he's got like three swords, really. Two pistols, a Uzi, two knives, that one little military pack that he had from the first one. And it looks like he got some kind of harness on. So, I mean, they really went for it. I mean, I kind of don't like how Snake Eyes' head looks really small. It looks like their head swivel as well, but. Storm Shadow's got two swords, a bow, one of those fans, Sai, and some kind of little throwing dagger things. And he's got something behind his feet. I can't really tell what those are, but these are two pretty sweet ones. I'm glad I picked them up. Shout out to Mike. He hooked me up with some stuff. Keeping it with Joe's, I got one of the classified series, Cobra Commander. I can never find that anywhere, so I put the word out to Mike, and he found it for me. And after he found it for me, I started seeing Cobra Commander everywhere. I finally got a Black Series, the Child. He sent me two of them. I gave one to Eric for his uncle for his birthday. I also got there's some Diamond Select Black Hole figures that are out there. A few weeks back, when I mentioned that I saw Maximilian, and I should have fucking grabbed it, but I didn't, and I went back later and it was gone. There's also Vincent, the little droid that was with him. That's the one Mike found for me. The box is a little iffy on the back, but it's all right. The figure and everything else is fine, so I grabbed that, or he got it for me. So shout out to Mike. He also gave me some Buckaroo Banzai comic books that I already have, but now I don't even know where those are in my stack of books. But the last thing I picked up was one of the DC Multiverse, the Grim Knight Batman figure. This figure is awesome, man. He's just loaded up with weapons and everything. So I really liked that that character, especially in the books and everything. So I was glad I found that one. There was another Batman one. I can't remember what it was called, but I didn't really like how he looked. But this Grim Knight one, I just thought it looked amazing, so I grabbed that. While I was running around looking in Walgreens for stuff, mainly for these Diamond Select Black Hole figures. They do have Tron figures. I want to pick up one of those. I found a another Kylo Ren pop. I don't know which one this is, but I think it's from one of the last movies before. While he still has his helmet on, so I found that. I just love his character, so I'm grabbing the ones that I don't have. As far as that, I think that is all that I have this week. Looking around to see if I'm forgetting anything. And no, that's all I got.
All right, cool. For me, like I mentioned early in the episode, hit the road. Funko HQ, Hollywood was the big stop. Went to the first Funko headquarters with Nez here now a couple years ago. We did that. Or was that? That was just last year, right? 2019.
I think right? So. Yeah.
Yeah. So just last year. I'm all thrown off. I was like, I kept being thrown off on even when I went to Galaxy's Edge with Jade. Like, that was just last year, too, August 2019. But it kept feeling like everything was so thrown off. Like, I was like, wait, was that like 2 years ago? Anyways. But yeah, first off, the experience of getting in was a lot different. We waited only about 10 minutes. Funko Everett, obviously this is different time now with the masks, and we were like down the block in line, and it was definitely a little over an hour wait, so it was quite amount of a time. One of the more interesting things that was happening, though, if you're familiar with that area where Funko HQ is there in Hollywood, right across from, well, the line stretched down right in front of, like, I think it was like a Pep Boys automotive store. That's where we're at. And then right across the street, there's a parking lot. And in there, there was like a couple of what seemed like 100 bikers. And it was like a huge motorcycle meetup. And it was insanely loud. I wish I would have got videos, but I was like running around doing stuff for Reason Jade. Luckily Jade did, so it's been a minute now since we took the trip, but I'd still want to like post something on that. It was crazy, or at least maybe need to send you it. And it was crazy. And then they started like rolling out and rolling down like right in front of Funko HQ, where they got a bunch of the Hollywood Walk of Fame, the stars. So the notable ones of those, just real quick, right down from the Funko HQ, back-to-back, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell is right there. Pitbull, Mary J. Blige, and Usher are musicians that are close in a row. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a bunch. It's like nonstop, but you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, it took about an hour. I had to run, refund the car to make sure the meter was going to be good once we entered. I ran to CVS to get waters and sunblock for them. So I was all over the place, but made it back to the line in time to get in, made sure the security guard knew my face since I was like in and out of the line. So I interacted with him a couple times. So, but once you got in, like, it couldn't have been like more different as far as the ops were, but it's all because of the virus. Like, you couldn't touch any of the stuff now. There's a bunch that were meant to be like sat in, like they have Jurassic Park, the huge T-Rex, and then Jeff Goldblum sitting on his side, like the scene in the film, on top of a Jeep. And normally you're allowed to like sit in the Jeep for like a photo op, Can't do that. They have like a Disney villains like throne that you can sit on. You can't do that. They have like Luke's speeder from the original Star Wars surrounded by sand troopers. And normally you can sit in that. Couldn't do that. They had, you could sit where in the Han seat in like a Han versus Greedo face off. And you can't do that. So there's all these like photo ops you can't do, but it was still really cool to see. I did post a picture. Actually, I did a run through one of my first, went live on Instagram, and I've done it before, but it's never saved like this. You can actually see it if you go to my profile at the Zisu on Instagram, and you can see it under, you can go back and see my run through of everything. And I tried to go as fast as I could. It's about a 5-minute video, but I ran through about as much as I could. So, and then I got back to, I realized like to actually like interact with Breeze and Jade and actually like shop, like it wouldn't have been very good for the live video. So I was like, let me just run through, see everything. Then I'll get back to like normal shopping. So that's what I did. But yeah, me and Jade took a picture with the Black Panther and Shuri statues. I think Okoye is up there too, but I think I couldn't fit in the shot of the shot I posted the other day. So there's that. But as far as like actual pickups, I was really excited to get The Last of Us Part 2's Ellie. And that one I was so excited to get because you just can't like find it anywhere, like not even online for ordering. So the other ones, just to be real quick, Halloween Mini, I got the Hollywood exclusive Chef Goofy, the Hollywood exclusive Freddy Funko, he's holding the star. Big Boy with the sunglasses, that's a Hollywood exclusive. I got like this ice cream cone guy, and then a Halloween Freddy from Funko HQ. So those are my main pickups from the HQ. From the Disney parks, I found a BB Boo 20, which is really cool. The top of him, it's a BB unit. It's green, and the bottom is orange. So he's kind of pumpkin colored, and it's themed for this year. So, but yeah, those are my main pickups from the road. So, and my Funko HQ experience. So, yeah, I think that'll do it for collecting this week.
All righty. What are we on to?
We are on to random movie and song recommendations.
All right, I'm going to run through mine really quick. This is a film that's streaming on HBO, HBO Max, one of them. There's a film that came out in 2010, to keep it with the horror. This is John Eric Dowdle, I think that's his name. This is a movie written by Brian Nelson and M. Night Shyamalan. And this is Devil. A group of people are trapped in an elevator, and the devil is mysteriously amongst them. This one was actually pretty good. I know a lot of people are just turned off by M. Night Shyamalan, but I thought it was really good. It was really to the point. It all just takes place in an elevator. It was cool how they did it. I enjoy the movie, and I liked the ending of it. Won't spoil it for you guys, but this came out back in 2010 on my birthday, September 17th. So, yeah, check out Devil. It's either HBO or HBO Max, one of them.
Cool. All right, I'm going to go to Netflix and the 2007 film. I probably recommended this before, but I'm going to recommend it now because I forgot a TV show that I watched, and I watched a bunch of, but I'm going to recommend Zodiac from 2007. Love that film. Love the way it's set up. Love the acting. Love the way they were able to recreate the Bay in the 70s. Jake Gyllenhaal, Mark Ruffalo, Robert Downey Jr. But I was reminded when I was just looking for a recommendation here that real quick to mention, because I'll probably forget it before the next pod, is that I caught up and watched all of Mindhunter. So, that's another Netflix show. David Fincher, kind of similar with the whole crime vibe, looking into the mind of serial killers and how the FBI kind of evolved that way to like the thinking criminal. So anyways, but yeah, Zodiac on Netflix.
All right, For my song, I'm going to the 1987 album from Anthrax, Among the Living. I am going to pick Imitation of Life. That's an awesome song. Because I think I've random recommended some of the main songs off of this one. But Imitation of Life, it's a badass song. It rocks hella hard. But the reason I'm picking this album, last Friday was my son Kyle's birthday, his 19th birthday. And if you're new to the show, my son passed almost... Fuck. Almost 9 years ago. But he's still alive with us in spirit, and he's alive here on the East Society. So he's one of the main reasons that that I podcast to just help me somewhat
talk it out.
Heal. But again, I'll never be the same. None of us will. But
no,
I always got to give him a shout out. And amazing little guy, and he's 19. I can't believe that. This dedicate this episode to Kyle. I should have last week, but I didn't. This is this whole episode is for you, son. I love you and I miss you. Take care of Pudge for us. And shout out to my youngest son Eric. His birthday is today. We're recording this on Monday the 27th. He is 16. And Marky's birthday is on Halloween, and I believe he's gonna be 25. Yeah, all my boys were born in October, so yeah. Shout out to all three of them. And Among the Living, Imitation of Life. Check out the whole album. The reason I picked that album because on Kyle's birthday on October 23rd in 2011, I took him to his first concert and we saw Anthrax. So, and I got a poster here or a picture, a collage of pictures here in the studio of Kyle with the whole band. And I got two of the guys to sign it when I went to Texas Frightmare last year. So shout out to Scott Ian and Charlie Benante from Anthrax. And shout out again to Charlie for coming on the Macness podcast. If you haven't heard that, go way back a year or so and listen to that interview. Awesome gentleman. Amazing band. I'm glad I was able to share my love for my favorite band with one of my sons. Well, I shared it with all of them, but... Kyle was the one that got to see him live, and I'm glad we got to share that and go to that concert together. So I love you, son, and I miss you, and I know you're always with us. Again, take care of Pudge. Don't let her run off.
Yes, exactly. All right, for my track, real quick, I got a quick question for you. We can delve into this later if it needs further investigation, but have you ever heard of it's – I guess it would just be called Lovecraft, but – LVCRFT?
I don't think so.
Okay, the only reason I ask is because one of the things we listened to while on the road was this Apple Music Mix Halloween Party, a killer mix of pop thrillers, creepy cuts, and campy hits, and had a bunch of this group on. And while part of it is more upbeat and party-ish, like, I don't know, it had a vibe to it that I thought you might actually really like, because they had like two or three tracks.
Who are they? Them.
LVCRFT. So I guess you would say Lovecraft, but it's spelt out like that. I had never heard of them, and I was only listening to them, like I said, on this mix of Halloween songs in the car. So, but I wanted to bring that up, and we can delve into it later. We need to roll, but... I just didn't know if you had ever heard of them, because it seemed like something you might be into.
I'll give it a listen. A little soft for my taste, I'll give it a listen.
The songs that are on this mix, No Rest for the Wicked and Amor de los Muertos. So, I don't know. But... definitely worth checking out. You might dig them. I'm going to go with another track off of this, though. And I'm going to go with the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack and the Oogie Boogie song. I love that one. And always great to hear, especially this time of year. So that's what I'm going to go with. Oogie Boogie. You're joking. You're joking.
Well, all right, everyone. We got to wrap this up because I got to get on the road. I got to get to work. But
yes.
It was longer than 45 minutes like last episode, which is totally a record for us here. 200 is the next episode. That's the regular next show. We passed 200 100 episodes ago. If you've listened to everything dealing with the East Society. And shout out to everyone that's been with us this far. Also, I got to give a shout out to Steve. He's been there from day one. He's our number one. Probably the... Jade was... So it's me, you, and Jade were the first three. I would say Steve would have to be the fourth. I can't remember. But, I mean, as far as... He's been on the show as well. But listening to us, man, he's been there from the beginning when I started Macness Podcast. I don't even know what episode I'm on that. But East Society, he was there right from episode one. He's been listening to it. So shout out to Steve. You rock, brother. I think that's... I got nothing else really much to say. But next episode, I will have some new movies to talk about because I do have some that I just couldn't get to. So, but...
Right.
Still just dealing with 31 Days of Horror. We're almost done. A few more episodes and then the year is over. It sucks, though. I remember when it first started, I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to do this, and that. Now, coming down to the wire. But again, everyone, thank you so much for listening to everything we have to do here on the Skater Podcast Network and everything dealing with the East Society. We love you guys. And 200. I don't know how long it's going to be, but we'll try to do something the same or different. I don't know if it will, but who knows? It'll be 200. It's a good milestone for us in the regular show. Yeah. So until next week, everyone, you guys just be safe out there and party on.
Yep. Thanks, everyone. Till next time, have fun, be safe, and we'll see you next time, you society.